Hey everybody, this is Carrie Wilkerson, co-founder of DIY Marketing Success. And today in module 3 for DIY Pipeline, we're going to be talking about how to create a paid virtual workshop. Now, when I say virtual, I mean as opposed to having people live in the room. And I will preface today's lesson by saying this is one of my favorite ways to create cash, to create leads, to create excitement, and to create a product. I love the energy of a paid virtual workshop. On the flip side, I love charging for it in advance of me creating it so that I know if there's really enough interest or not. Believe it or not, not everything I touch turns to gold. I know you guys tend to focus on the successes of the experts that you see, and you don't realize that sometimes we offer something and people don't take us up on it, or very few do. And so then it's like, you know, it's not worth creating it. And I'd rather know that in advance, quite honestly. So maybe that's why this is one of my favorite methods. I can also kind of create it on the fly. All I have to have is a concept, an outline, and some sales copy. But I'm going to get ahead of myself. So you join this membership to learn different ways to create profitable products. And I am going to encourage you, stick with it for all the lessons, because you want to be like Walmart, like Target, like the convenience store, a little bit of everything within your niche or target market. Here's another way. We're going to create a paid virtual workshop today. There are a few very exciting benefits to using this strategy. Namely, live events, even virtual ones, have a high perceived value. If you offered the same content in an ebook, you could maybe charge upwards to $25, but since it's a live event, you could easily charge $100, $150, or even more. I have friends in the industry. Now, they are in the trading industry, so stocks, and they will charge $497 for a webinar event for the day. That's no decimal points, y'all. That's $500. So, number two, another benefit is you have a product you can then sell again and again and again. Once the event is over, you'll have the recordings, and that means you'll have a product that you can sell again. You can break the recordings up into lessons to create multiple products. You could have it transcribed. You could strip the audio, etc. On and on. Think repurposing and upcycling. So that sounds exciting, right? But if you've never created a virtual workshop, this might sound overwhelming and even difficult, especially when you look at how many that Paul and I do and you think, oh, they just make that look so easy. But here's the deal. It's not that hard when you use a simple three-step system. Number one, set up the workshop. Here's where you'll learn how to choose a topic, how to present the content in webinar format. And you know what? For our purposes, I think you could even do audio format. I do love conference calls still with downloadable handouts. So every time I say webinar, you might also say in your head or audio. And everything else you need to know about preparing to run your workshop. Then number two, supply the content. This is where you'll learn how to create the actual content for your workshop. It's easier than you think. Number three, sell the workshop. This is just what it sounds like. You put a price tag on the workshop and then start getting targeted traffic in front of your offer. So if that sounds like something you want to do or might be curious about, let's jump right in. Set up the workshop. This step is composed of four mini steps. Now listen, if you're listening to the audio, there's no need to take notes. This is in your report. So you might want to print your report out and take notes to the side. It'll save you some writing. So those four mini steps are: number one, choose your niche or niche, depending on which side of the pond you're on. Number two, select your topic. Number three, set up the webinar. Number four, create your website. Now, we're going to break each of these down separately. Choose your niche, your niche. Your first step is to choose your market. That is, what kind of people are going to attend your webinar or your virtual workshop? Who has a problem that needs solving? And are they willing to pay money to get it solved? This is your market. Now, there are two steps involved in choosing your niche. I'm hoping you already have that done. you know, at this point in the pipeline, I'm hoping, but some of you are going to second guess yourself or go back and forth a little bit. And I get that. Mine has evolved a little bit since I started in business too. But number one, the first step is to simply brainstorm niches. That means you'll create a big list of possible niche markets. Number two, the second step is to determine which of these niches are profitable. Then you'll choose your final niche from among this shortened list of profitable niches. Let's look at these two steps in more detail. You say, Gary, you keep doing that. You keep going detail, detail, detail. That's because I want this to be simple for you and I want it to make sense. So brainstorming niches. Many people assume this is a difficult step, but really it's not. Indeed, by the time you follow these instructions, you should have several dozen, if not hundreds of ideas for possible niches. Here's how. Brainstorm. Okay, now brainstorm. Just sit down and brain dump, download your head as many ideas as you can think of, especially those based around your own interests or your own existing business. Ask yourself, what are your hobbies? Where do you spend your money? What kinds of websites do you like to visit? Where do you like to go on vacation? What do you like to watch on TV? What topics of conversation do you enjoy talking about? What problems plague you? I spent a whole chapter on this in my book, The Barefoot Executive, and truthfully, this can't be underestimated. The point is, examine your own problems, hobbies, and interests, and you're likely to find plenty of potential niches. For example, maybe you like to restore antique cars. That's a potential niche. Maybe you're struggling to house train a puppy or a child. That's a potential niche. Maybe you're looking to gain muscles or lose weight. Haven't we all done one or the other? Those are potential niches too. In my past lives, I've been involved in scrapbooking, in counted cross stitch, in crafting. I've been in the service business. I've worked in direct sales. I've been involved in the loan mortgage business. So many things that maybe in your life that could be potential markets. See what your friends are doing. Likewise, you can look at what your friends' interests, hobbies, and problems are to uncover potential niches. Now, what I mean is, don't look online and see what other businesses people are doing. Don't get caught in the bright, shiny business or, oh, if they're doing well at it, you know, it must be good and profitable. Don't get stuck in that. But what are they doing? For instance, you know, golfing or, you know, I have a friend that created Peak Performance Golf Swing. I believe that's his site. His name is Justin Tupper. He created his niche just based on this one particular golf swing that's supposed to help you be injury free. He created an entire $7-figure-a-month business on a golf swing. I'm not kidding. And this is not even his golf swing. He has a buddy who's a pro whose dad teaches this swing. And so he developed a business around that. So here's another example. Maybe you have a friend who struggles with irritable bowel syndrome. That's a potential niche. Maybe you have another friend who enjoys backpacking in the mountains. There's another. Perhaps you have another friend who loves cooking French food. Again, another. I have friends involved in the CrossFit frenzy. I have friends, you know, involved in the fasting frenzy or the juicing frenzy. All of those things are potential niches. So look around. In other words, pay attention to what's going on around you. What kind of stores are in your neighborhood? What current events and news do you read and hear online, in newspapers and in magazines? So, for example, maybe you heard on the news that crime is rising in your city and that more and more people are installing alarms. That's a potential niche. Or perhaps you read an article about how to protect dogs in the winter from the cold. Again, a potential niche. Perhaps you're driving around and you see a store catering to quilters. Now, my mama is a quilter. I'll tell you, that is a profitable niche. Then use keyword tools. Yet another way to generate ideas for niches is to simply enter broad, vague searches into keyword tools. Tools like wordtracker.com, keyworddiscovery.com, marketsamurai.com, or even Google's free external keyword tool. Simply choose one of these tools and enter a search such as how to get rid of, eliminate, fast, buy, book, tips, articles, information, secrets, all relating with your niches. Do that and you'll end up with dozens, if not hundreds of potential markets. For example, a search like how to may turn up potential niches such as how to lose weight, how to remodel a kitchen, how to buy a car, how to declaw your cat, how to, and lots of DIY things on there too, meaning do it yourself. So search lists. Another way to uncover popular niches is to seek out bestseller lists. So you could go to a general website like Amazon.com. You could check out which books are bestsellers in different categories. And here's a tip. Some websites and companies also review popular products such as ConsumerReports.com. These sites too can give you ideas for potential niches. These methods that I just mentioned should all give you plenty of ideas for potential niches and markets. You can even take an extra 10 to 15 minutes just to brainstorm other ideas. For instance, whatever comes to your mind, things you've been thinking about, things you're asked questions about, things you've spent on lately, all those kind of things. For instance, my girls have just gotten involved in the American Girl doll phenomenon. Now, I've kind of put it off and put it off and put it off, and they're now involved in that, and that is a niche. The clothing for them, the places to go, you know, the care of, the restoring of, the swapping, the shopping, the, all those things, that also would be a niche. And that's something, you know, that my girls are involved in that might have come to my mind while I was brainstorming. In my own personal life, you know, I have dealt with lots of extra weight. I have friends that we just went to dinner this week and they've just been through weight loss surgery. That's another popular niche. Again, I mentioned juicing. In my own personal life, I've got, you know, what some consider a big family, four kids, a special needs child, adoption versus biological. I've dealt with infertility, dealt with depression, dealt with massive consumer debt, and on and on. I've also bought and sold no less than 12 homes in the last 20 years. I have been married 20 years. Lots of things that I could easily choose as a niche and put on my brainstorm list. What about you? What about your messes? What about your experience? What about the trials you've been through? Write those down. Now, let's research your niches to determine if they're profitable. You need to pick a market that's known to be profitable. That is, you need to figure out which of these groups on your list will actually spend money to solve their problems. And I also say you need to know the ones you can reach. So if they're a group that's not online, you know, let's not even look at them. But do they have a discretionary income? Will they actually spend money to solve their problems? Now, I will also say that one of my most profitable clients, he's one of my high-level mentoring clients. He does over seven figures a year. He works with the jobless market. So probably in my narrow thinking a few years ago, I would have thought that's not going to be a very profitable market. But the truth is he does really great because he helps them find solutions to help them find a job. They're willing to spend on that. Now, you have to keep that in mind when you're doing your pricing and where you're going to find them, but that has determined to be a really profitable market. Okay, one of the easiest ways to do this research is to find out which markets are actively spending now to solve their problems. So since you're looking to create a paid one-day virtual workshop, then you need to focus on what other information products your prospective market members are already buying. That means let's look at popular information products like books, magazines, ebooks, reports, videos, and audios, as well as webinars. And here's a tip, just be sure that your prospective market members are willing and able to watch and listen to webinars and or listen to audios. Number one, if you're targeting people who are hearing impaired, then obviously it doesn't make sense to have a webinar since your target market won't be able to hear it anyway. Now, the devil's advocate in me wants to say, you could do a slide presentation that would close caption the audio and that might work. I might keep the segments broken down so it wasn't an overwhelming length, but I don't know that you would necessarily rule out that for a deaf market. You might just want to accommodate them. Example number two, if you're targeting people in rural areas of various countries, then high-speed internet still is few and far between. That means they're going to have a problem connecting to your webinar maybe. So if your main target are rural areas in various countries, then you might consider an audio through a teleconference line or something they can tap in more easily, download their handouts, and maybe the technical problems will be fewer. So just keep some of these things in mind. Okay, now back to how do we find out what people are already buying? Since we're focusing on information products, we need to only take a few steps, including let's search ClickBank.com. It's one of the biggest sellers of information products. You can go to their marketplace and enter a broad search like weight loss, or you can simply browse the appropriate categories. Either way, take note that the niche products at the top of your search results are the most popular products. And secondly, take notes of which popular niche products have a lot of competitors. Point is, if you see several popular products targeting the same niche, then that's a pretty good sign that the niche is big and profitable, and that's a good niche for you to choose. Now, some of you in your brain will say it's very popular and there are lots of competitors, so I need not to be in that space. I disagree. Paul and I really think sometimes the more competition, the better. That means people are spending on that. Visit Amazon.com. Do the same thing as you did in the ClickBank marketplace. Specifically, run a search in the book section for the broad keyword related to your niche, like gardening or weight loss or training or whatever. You can sort your results by bestsellers. Take note of the topics that have several competing products. Again, seeing multiple competing products in the same niche is usually a sign of a big and profitable niche. Very popular. Use keyword tools. Like we mentioned before, you can return to your keyword tools and search for buying related words in your niche. For instance, buy weight loss book or discount dog training seminar, those kind of things. Search Google. Search for your broad keywords like car restoration and see what the top sites are. Now, you know what? Let me just pause for a second. Let me say, those of you that already have a list or a profitable market and you're creating your webinar, you may say, what else can I cover in my current topic? What else is there? And you might do this research as kind of parallel research into what else is my market buying. So let's say my market is jaw-dropping client getting results like Sam Hartley has. She might say, what else is selling in client attraction market or lead generation or prospecting? What else is popular? So you might look at what they're also buying. When they're buying these things, you know, Amazon has that really handy little screen at the bottom that says, clients that have bought this have also bought that. So you might just see what else they're looking at. So if you already know your list, know what they like, what they want, but you're just looking for a parallel product, that may be what you do. Okay, let's look at what niche magazines are covering. We're going to search Google. We're going to see what niche magazines are covering. We're going to see what others are advertising. Look at what's being advertised at the top of the page on Google and on the right-hand sidebar of the page. That's going to be an ideal prompter too. Again, this information is in the report, so you might want to print out this report or skim it while we're talking. Now, this is really important. Do not use any of the above steps completely standalone. Use them together so that they'll point to each other and affirm the conclusions that you're drawing. Remember, any market that has a lot of competition and a lot of products for sale is actually a good thing. It's a profitable market. Chances are, once you've completed the above steps, then your big list of niches will shorten quickly. Cross them out. Don't hang on to them and hope that you can improve them. Cross them out. Give yourself permission to focus on just a handful. Depending on which niches were on your list, it may even become crystal clear which one you should pursue, or a series of two or three that naturally fit together. In other cases, you may find that you're still left with a list of several niches that look good. With all else being equal, your next step is to simply pick the niche that interests you the most. That way, not only will you be working in a profitable niche, but you'll also be working on one that you enjoy. I think it's really important to pick one that you have existing information about too. If you're going to try and learn all about that niche just because it's profitable, I think that's a recipe for disaster. Now, your next step is to select your topic. Topic and niche are not the same thing. You've chosen a profitable niche, one in which people are already buying products to solve their problems. Now, your next step is to choose the topic of your virtual workshop. The first key is to choose a popular topic one which your prospects are already buying. To determine which topics in your niche are popular, simply go back to the research you did in the previous step and look closely at the best-selling information products. If you see a lot of competing products all covering the same topic, then obviously that's a popular topic. And so you'll want to create a workshop around the same topic. For example, let's say you're looking to create an organic gardening workshop, and maybe the top organic gardening products include how to get rid of pests the natural way, organic gardening pest control, how to grow beautiful organic roses, the secrets of organic gardening, and how to grow prize-winning organic tomatoes. One look at that list and it's clear that organic pest control is the number one topic. Thus, you'll want to base your workshop on pest control too. Woohoo! Do I get bonus points for saying thus? Love that. Okay, now the key to a successful workshop is twofold. Discover the strong points of the other similar products so that you can be sure your product includes these strengths too. Uncover the weaknesses and flaws of those competing products so that you can make your product better than these other two. To uncover the strengths and weaknesses, here are some options. You can read, watch, or listen to the product yourself. This will give you an idea of the strengths and weaknesses of that product. Better yet, use the information in the product. See how well it really works. I mean, test it out. Use it on your garden. Use the pest control. You could also see what others are saying about the product. For example, read the reviews on Amazon.com. If you read reviews on blogs and elsewhere, just keep in mind that some of these reviews will be biased, as the bloggers are probably trying to sell the product as an affiliate or were compensated reviewers. Nonetheless, you can still glean useful information about the flaws and strengths of the product. However, let me give you a caveat on that. I will say, when you're reviewing Amazon reviews, when you're reading those Amazon reviews, I tend to dismiss the two or three worst ones and the two or three best ones. The two or three best ones are probably associates, friends, pals, etc. And the two or three worst ones are probably trolls or haters or people with a competitive streak or somebody being ugly. Let's look at those middle reviews to get some unbiased. Now, I will tell you that's because that's what I would suggest people do even when they go look at the reviews for my book. I would say, you know what? Look at all the ones in the middle. The top two or three people are probably people that love me and think I can do no wrong. And the lower two or three are probably people that I struck a raw nerve with that dislike me for some reason. So let's look at all the ones in the middle. So keep that in mind when you're using this tactic. All right. Let's see. Let's give you an example again relating to the organic. So let's say you're creating the organic gardening workshop. You go to Amazon to read the reviews on similar products. Many of the reviewers praise those products that have a table showing which pests are likely to be found on which types of plant and flowers. So make a note that you want to include a table for your attendees. On the flip side, you'll see reviewers noting that some of the top products do not include recipes for homemade pest control sprays. That's a flaw. So make a note, your product should include recipes for organic sprays. Then you'll have a better product than the competitors' products. You might even list that as a bonus to your workshop, downloadable pest control recipes. Now that you have your topic, set it aside for now. Just a bit later, you'll find out how to choose a title and create the content for your workshop. For now, however, let's look at how to set up your webinar and website. Read on. Setting up the webinar. Your next step is to select the platform. That is, choose a webinar host so that your students can log in and watch your webinar. While you can certainly search Google for webinar host and come up with plenty of options, one of the most popular is GoToWebinar.com. I recommend this host because it's well-known, it's stable, it has good customer service, and if you have any problems, you're assured of being able to reach someone fairly quickly. I've also used Adobe Connect Pro. I love that one. Has the interactive camera and the chat room. However, it does have a maximum room size of about 100 people. So I don't know if that's an option you want to consider, but Paul and I have used that pretty extensively. Another option is if you used Barefoot Conference Call. I know a lot of you use barefootconferencecall.com for your audios and your teleconference line. Do you know there's also an option you can upload slides and do a type of webinar there? So check that out. They have a free trial. Yes, that's an affiliate link. barefootconferencecall.com. Paul and I have used that as well. So between those, you should find a platform you like. I don't have a lot of experience with Instant Presenter, with any of the others, but those are the ones that we have experience with that we can recommend. If you decide to seek out a different host, consider these issues. One, customer service. Can you reach someone quickly by phone or other live help if there's an issue? Is the customer service available during the time that you'll be holding the workshop? Keep this in mind, y'all, if you're doing this on a weekend or after hours during the week. Consideration two, how many people can attend the webinar? Most hosts have different prices for a different amount of attendees. What are the requirements for you and your attendees? Most hosts allow viewing on both Macs and PCs, though you'll want to double check this. You also want to check that you and your attendees meet other requirements, such as what browser do you need to use, etc. Also, when you're promoting your webinar, you need to suggest that people have a high-speed internet connection. Another consideration is there an audio feature available? It should be in the vast majority of hosts without any additional fees. Some hosts even give attendees the option of listening on their computer or calling in. That means that people who aren't at the computers can still attend, though they won't see the visual portion. And a very important consideration is, can you record it? How is the option for recording? How long does the recording encoding take? Is it an instant streaming replay or is it a download FLV? So you have to do some of that research. So here's how it works. Step one, sign up for your host. Go to webinar or whoever. Choose the rate plan that best matches how many attendees you'll have. If you're trying to decide between two plans, choose the one that allows for more attendees. I want you to overestimate attendance versus underestimate. You do not want people blocked out of a paid workshop. Here's a tip. As of this writing, as of this creation, GoToWebinar.com does offer a free 30-day trial. We're not affiliates of that, just letting you know. Step two, set up your webinar. This is as easy as logging into your GoToWebinar account, click on schedule a webinar, and choose the date and start time. Step three, very important, get attendees. Next, you collect payment from your customers. On the payment confirmation thank you page, provide a link where they can register for the workshop. You could even password protect the GoToWebinar workshop if you choose. Once your customers have registered, GoToWebinar will send them an email that tells them how to log in and attend. So you can collect payment with PayPal, through your shopping cart, however you want to do that. You need to collect payment, then send them the details. Step four, send reminders. Don't think that just because they've paid, just because they've registered, they're automatically going to show up. GoToWebinar gives you the option of automatically setting up reminders, which means that attendees will get one or more emailed reminders. If you're using a host that does not include this feature, you'll need to manually send reminders or program those into autoresponders in your email system, as well as instructions for how to log in and watch the webinar workshop. I like to say you need to keep reselling the workshop to attendees even after they've paid. You need to keep reminding them of why it's good for them to be there. You need to keep reminding them of why they signed up. So here's a tip. If you have to do it manually, then get an account with somebody like barefootautoresponders.com. And you can send those through the list. You could also use Constant Contact or Eye Contact or Barefoot Cart. If you're already using barefootcart.com or barefootautoresponders.com, either one of those will make that work. Those are AWeber and One Automation Wiz. And yes, those are affiliate links. Might as well keep it in the family, right? Those are the resources that we like and use. So step five, hold your webinar. When you're ready to hold the workshop, log into your account, click on Start Webinar, start broadcasting, and attendees will be able to see and hear your presentation. Be sure to check the option to record the webinar too. I've heard so many stories of people that have forgotten to record and they felt like it was one of the best presentations of their life. Don't be that person. Keep this checklist out beside you if you need to. It's just almost impossible to remember everything off the top of your head. So that's all there is to it. In five easy steps, you'll start holding your own virtual workshop. You're going to set up payment like you would any other product, and we've covered that in other lessons. You're going to hold your virtual workshop, and remember, what your attendees see is what's on your computer desktop. You'll be sharing your computer with attendees, so keep these points in mind. Clean up your desktop. You may even want to change the wallpaper to your company branding. Certainly, you should remove personal photos or anything that's personal, unprofessional, or tidy. Determine how you intend to share content. Obviously, you'll be narrating, so you'll provide some content via auditory, meaning speaking. However, you'll also want to provide slides and videos. One of the easiest ways to do this is to create a PowerPoint presentation that you can share. An alternative is to use Open Office's Impress software, I-M-P-R-E-S-S software. That's a free software if you don't already have PowerPoint or Keynote if you have a Mac. Here's a tip. You can narrate using your computer's microphone. Alternatively, you can call into the webinar and use your phone for narration if you don't have a mic built into your laptop or desktop. Now, once you've set up your webinar account, downloaded your slide presentation, then move on to the next step. We're going to create your website, the website that's going to sell this product, okay? So that will be our next step. After choosing your niche, creating your topic, all those things, is to set up the website. So since your webinar host takes care of everything, you won't be hosting your webinar or any of the main content on your website. That's good news. That complicates things a little less. Instead, you'll use your website or your blog for the following purposes. Number one, to sell the webinar. This is where you put up your sales letter or the sales letter video and send all your prospects to. Your sales letter will, of course, include a payment button. You can do this as simple or as complicated as you want. You also will use your website to give the people the registration link. After your customers pay, you'll send them to a hidden page on your site where they'll be able to register for the workshop. And number three, to offer any files or downloads you'd like to share. Finally, you can also house files you may like to share with your attendees, such as reports or other materials or checklists, or remember those recipes for the pest control we talked about? This would be a good place for those. So let's go through the steps of setting this up. Now, if you work with a technical person that's going to help you, or if you use somebody like the web support team, or a virtual assistant like Coast to Coast Business, Lisa Wells, then they're going to help you with this. But if you're a do-it-yourselfer, which I think you probably are, then here's what we're going to do. Step one, choose a domain name. First, you need to choose and then buy a domain name. Now, this is assuming you don't already have your own site and your own domain, or you might want to choose a domain that goes with your product or the workshop title. Totally up to you. But I want you to use a reliable registrar. I suggest you use a well-known company like Namecheap.com. Namecheap.com is who I use. I know some people use GoDaddy and some others, but I use Namecheap personally. Choose a .com name whenever possible. Most people still associate domain names with .coms, so they'll automatically remember and assume your domain is a .com. Make it easy to remember by selecting a .com as opposed to a .net, .biz, .org, .me, .any of those other things. Create a relevant name. If your workshop is an organic gardening workshop, then organicgardeningworkshop.com would be a good relevant name. In other words, you want other people to know what your site about just by looking at the domain name. So even though I have carriewilkerson.com and I have barefootexecutive.tv, I might choose getmoreclientsworkshop.com specifically for this event and then point it to a subpage on my blog. Again, totally up to you. Select a memorable name. Don't get cutesy with it. Otherwise, people are unlikely to remember it. So org gardening number 4 letter u.com, see that in your report, is a difficult name to remember as well as to say. You have to explain this name so it's not memorable. Be ready to buy immediately. Don't search for names unless you're ready to buy now, as sometimes these names can become unavailable. That happened to Paul and I this week. As a matter of fact, some names that we wanted from 4 months ago are now gone. And boy, have we learned our lesson on that. So brainstorm first, then search, and then buy. Now, Here's what I'm going to tell you, because I'm a little type A about this. You could spend all day doing this. You could spend multiple days. You could paralyze yourself in action just on your domain name. Set your timer for 30 minutes. From brainstorm to domain purchase, 30 minutes. Step number two, get hosting. Your next step is to get hosting, and while most domain registrars also offer hosting, you don't want to use hosting and domains with the same company. That's because if the company goes out of business or just goes down, you lose everything. So I suggest you go with a reliable web host like HostGator. I know Paul uses them for some things. I use Bluehost with some things, and I use BrainHost for some things. So you choose a hosting company, and here's a tip. The smallest package will fit your needs, but if you intend to host more domains in the future, then make sure you get a package that allows for multiple domains, okay? Once you've selected your web host, then you'll need to log back into your domain and change the DNS, that stands for domain name servers, to point towards your web host. That way, when someone types in your domain name, your website will show up. So your host will send an email to you that will list your domain name servers. You then log into your Namecheap account and use this demo to guide you. There is a demo in your report. You can click on that hyperlink. Step number three, select the payment processor. Now you need to select a payment processor. If you intend to sell the workshop without the help of affiliates, then one of your best options is PayPal. If you're in a country where you can't use PayPal, or perhaps your customers can't use it, then you might try an alternative such as number2checkout.com, or eJunkie is an affiliate program that works with PayPal, or you could use barefootcart.com, especially if you're going to use affiliates. If you'd like to recruit affiliates, use an affiliate script with PayPal or 2Checkout. To make it even easier, you can use clickbank.com. They do all the tracking, et cetera, and even cut the checks. So again, that's up to you and where you are in business. Again, some of you already have this set up, and so you can just skip this step. The only downside to using ClickBank is that you'll need to get approval to charge more than $50 for your webinar. So if you choose this option, be sure to leave plenty of time for the approval process to go through, and it doesn't hurt to have an alternative plan just in case your workshop isn't approved. Number four, create your sales letter. Now, don't get overwhelmed by this. This might be as simple as a video and some bullet points. It might be full-blown sales copy. You know, choose a sales letter that you like for somebody else's product, maybe, and model after it. Don't steal their words, but just pay attention to painful headline, testimonial, benefits, picture, features, testimonial. How have they got it laid out? Where are the graphics, etc.? So don't get overwhelmed with this. Once you've created the actual content for your course, which we'll talk about soon, then you can go back in and add benefit statements and other details. So listen, a sales letter is an important part of your site, as it can make or break the success of your workshop. As such, I suggest you consider hiring a professional copywriter to create your letter for you, or at least to help you flesh it out. You can find copywriters on Elance.com or in the Warriors for Hire. I like using ecoverbox.com. Sam at ecoverbox.com is good at sales letters, and they're super reasonable. Please do not pay thousands of dollars for copy. Please go to ecoverbox.com. Go to Elance, you know, and let's see how it goes. But I really do like picking one you like and formulating yours after it, or doing a video with some bullet points. I think that can be super helpful too. So here's an overview of what a sales letter looks like. Let's give you a formula, shall we? The main headline is designed to capture attention by stating a big benefit. Example, who else wants to discover the secrets of turning an unruly puppy into a perfect house guest? Then your subheadline would elaborate on the main benefit or tell of another benefit. Example, no dog training experience required. Now you too can have a well-mannered pup, even if he seems like a holy terror right now. Then you would say, dear so-and-so. So dear solopreneur, dear puppy owner, dear ill-behaved puppy owner, or dear fellow dog owner. Then the beginning of the letter tells a story, asks a question, elaborates on the problem, or elaborates on the benefits to hook the readers and get them interested. Now, I am going to suggest that you spend some time with the printed report of this, or even reading it online. It's not going to make as much sense to you in the audio as it will in the report. So I need you to refer to pages 16, 17, 18 for copywriting. 16, 17, 18. I'm also going to have Paul add in as a bonus or additional resources a sales copy formula that we both like. So refer to pages 16, 17, and 18 for writing your sales letter. I just can't do it justice in the audio, okay? So there's fair disclaimer. Now let's set up your website. Now that you've written your sales letter, now that you've set up your hosting, chosen your domain, let's set up your website. This includes inserting the pay buttons into your sales letter and uploading the sales letter to the main page of your site and creating a hidden confirmation page which thanks people for their purchase and tells them how to register. Again, this is going to make more sense in writing, so print it out, look at it. Don't just be confused by what I'm telling you. You'll also upload any other files, such as bonus products, most of which will be available for download on the payment confirmation page. And you'll create other pages on your site as needed, such as a contact me link, a terms of service page, talk to your attorney about how to construct your terms of service specific to your product, your business, and your state or country. I cannot give you legal advice. You can do these things yourself by using an HTML editor like Dreamweaver or the free Composer with a K and a Z, Composer. There's also one called Something Taco. There's an editing software called Something Taco. You'll also need to know how to upload files to your website, either by using FTP software like Qt FTP or FileZilla. FileZilla is what I use. Composer with a K is what I use, and FileZilla is what I use. Or by logging into your host's control panel and using the file manager. Now, here's a side note. Since I do mostly everything on WordPress blog sites now, I don't have to know how to do HTML so much. There's an editor built into WordPress, which makes it super easy. If you don't know how to do that, you can hire somebody to do it on elance.com, rentacoder.com, websupportteam.com, or learn how to do it in WordPress by going to YouTube and saying how to HTML or how to create a page in WordPress, something like that. So here's a recap. Here you go. The steps you need to choose your niche, choose your topic, set up your website. Remember, don't struggle and try to set it up yourself if you're not technically inclined. Don't spend too long on each detail. Instead, go to a freelancing site. Go to Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R.com. See if there's somebody low cost you can find to do it for you. Not only will the professional be able to do it more quickly, he'll also likely design a better site than you. So get this step completed and let's move on to the next step of the formula. That was all just set up. Now you're going to supply the content. You have set up your site, you've chosen a host. Your next step includes choosing how long your webinar will be, selecting a title, creating the content, and your presentation. So, selecting the length of your webinar. It's a good idea to have some sense of how long your webinar will be, as this will impact pricing and it will impact the outline and the value justification on your sales copy. At a minimum, your website, your webinar should be 1 hour long. You can then go from there up to a full day. I have friends that do full days. It's crazy, I know. However, I suggest that if this is your first workshop, then you should schedule it for just a few hours. If it's a high-priced workshop, for instance, Paul and I on the DIY intensives, we tend to do 3 to 4 hours. That gives you plenty of time to cover all the material in depth as well as open the lines for questions from time to time, and you won't be struggling to fill the time. So here's a tip. Create more content than you think you'll need. That way, if you rush through your content more quickly than anticipated, which is pretty common, you can simply go through the other content to extend the length of the workshop. Don't mention the extra content in your sales letter, however, just in case you're unable to get to it. Obviously, another factor that determines length is the actual topic. If you're creating a webinar about how to set up and market a website, you could easily fill a full day even more. But if you're creating a workshop on a smaller topic like how to house train a dog or the organic pest control, you may only need an hour or an hour and a half to teach this in depth. In other words, let your topic be your guide when thinking about how long your webinar will be. Do not ask me, Carrie, what's the perfect length? What's the best tested length? I cannot answer that without being fully aware of your topic, your market, your price point, etc. This is one of those decisions you have to make. When choosing a link, be sure to leave time for questions. You should take questions maybe once per hour, maybe once per topic point. I know that's what Paul and I tend to do. And if your webinar is more than an hour and a half, you may also want to schedule short breaks so that your attendees can go to the restroom, refill their beverages, etc., without missing any of the workshop. And here's another thing we do. We like to schedule the breaks so that we can stop the recording and restart the recording so that then it's the recordings are in a digestible length instead of being a big 3-hour recording. That's just something that we prefer to do. So when you're choosing a title, let's pick something catchy and relevant. They need to instantly know what your workshop is about. So let's share with you some titles and examples. And again, when you go to your report, this will give you some templates. So there are some templates on how to do this, like a how-to. For example, how to cook delicious French food. Okay, so fill in your how-to there. How-to what? There's also the blank easy steps to blank. 5 easy steps to house training your puppy. You go fill in the blanks for your topic. The secrets of blank. For example, the secrets of winning bodybuilding competitions. Learn how to blank. Example, learn how to play guitar. The blank workshop, the organic pest control workshop. Do note that the last example has the word workshop in the title. You may want to use the main title, the blank workshop, followed by a subtitle using the template. So for instance, the Web Design 101 workshop, everything you need to know to get your first website up and running fast. Or the 1957 Chevy Restoration Workshop, how to overhaul the engine on your 1957 Chevy. Or the Hydroponic Gardening Workshop, how to grow delicious vegetables without soil. Okay, so after you choose your title, again, go look at those templates in your report. The next step is outlining your presentation. So we want to start creating. You'll want to start by drawing up an outline of the topics and steps you'd like to cover. Be sure to also estimate how much time you'll devote to each. If your workshop is a how-to workshop, then your outline will simply include the steps needed to perform the procedure. So, for example, your workshop about setting up a blog would likely include these steps. Step 1, buy a domain. Step 2, purchase web hosting. Step 3, change your name servers, and on down to step 10. Some of these topics may take only a few minutes to cover. Other topics could easily take 30 or more to cover. So obviously, it's pretty easy to create an outline when you're teaching a step-by-step, but how do you create an outline for a topic that doesn't necessarily have steps in chronological order? In that case, you may want to order the topics from least advanced to most advanced. So let's suppose you're holding a workshop about how to market a website. And let's say the topics you intend to cover include social media marketing, SEO, or search engine optimization, joint venture marketing, pay-per-click marketing, and blogging. Now, it doesn't really matter which order you teach these topics in the sense that there isn't a chronological, but you decide how to order it, and you might do easiest to more advanced. I like to say that's for confidence building reasons. Your listeners or watchers are going to build confidence as they go. Whereas if you start with the more advanced stuff, you might have a high level of frustration from some of your new folks. So you might order that from blogging to social media to joint venture to search engine, pay-per-click, then PC and JV, etc. That's just up to you. Or you might put them in the order of fast results to longer-term results. So you might want to do that in the order of, hey, if you really want fast results, make sure you tune in the first 20 minutes. The last two will take longer time for results, but they are the easiest. So another alternative is to further categorize the topics. For example, you could first talk about all the paid means of advertising, such as PPC marketing and any others you'd like to add, Facebook ads, etc. And then you could talk about all the free means. Within these two main categories, you can then further organize them in order of beginning to expert or least expensive to most expensive. You know, that's totally up to you. Are you not sure what all topics to include? Again, go back to the research you did earlier. Look at the competing products. You do not want to copy these products in any way. However, you can use their table of contents as inspiration for what topics you'd like to include, or maybe there's some glaring gaps you see, or maybe you know you could improve on some of those. You could also use customer reviews of these to help you shape it. For example, if several customers wished that the competing product had covered a particular topic, then make sure to include that topic. You'll want to create a fairly detailed outline. That's because your next step is to start creating the actual content so that you can create your slide presentation and other materials. So read on. Once the outline is complete, you now need to do two things. Create the visual portion of your presentation. This is where you use OpenOffice Impress or PowerPoint to create a slide presentation and other visual aid for your attendees. I know we sometimes use Keynote because we're both Mac-based. Then you want to create the audio portion of your presentation. I don't mean you need to record it. I just mean, you know, you might want to write out your script. Now, personally, Paul and I never do this. We know our content so well, and when we have our outlines, we really prefer to create our script as we go. That being said, we've both been speaking and teaching and training for years and years and years. It's very natural for us. However, one of our buddies, David Fry, who also has been in the business for years and years and years, he scripts everything, absolutely everything. That's where his comfort level is. So that just depends on you. So let's start with the slide presentation. Then in the next section, you'll learn about creating the script, also known as narration. Now, the first note I want to make is that there are various ways for you to create this content. These include creating the content from scratch. This is where you create the content yourself. It's a matter of sitting down, using the outline you've made, and just writing it your own self from your head. You can share it in a conversational tone, rather via straight text, totally up to your style. This is a good choice if you're already an expert in the topic. If not, be sure to research it thoroughly. That means you'll need to use multiple web sources to research the topic. Be sure to create the content in your own words and reference those reliable sources when and if needed. What do I mean by reliable? It means you need to use websites that are known authority sites. So if you're doing weight loss or health, WebMD, Atkins.com, and similar high name, high authority sites. On the other hand, weightlosstipsforyou.info or .biz is an unknown resource, so skip it. It's not going to lend a lot of credibility to you. Alternative to creating from scratch. The other alternative to creating from scratch is using PLR, also known as private label rights, to create the content. If you start with good PLR content, well written, then it saves you loads of time in terms of research, outlining, etc. I love good PLR for a good bare bones outline, and then I can add my own examples, etc. All you need to do is excerpt out relevant portions of the content in order to create your slides and your narration. Naturally, you should tweak the PLR content a bit to make it sound more like you, more like your brand, more like your personality. So let's say the content has phrases like, the metabolic effect is ephemeral. Now, perhaps you wouldn't say something like that, so you can rewrite it to make it sound like your voice, like this. The fat burning effect is short-lived. Same thing, just different wording. You could also hire a ghostwriter to create the content. Someone like allcustomcontent.com or the Content Divas or someone you found on Elance. Another way to create that content is to work with that ghostwriter. You'll need to make it clear to the ghostwriter that you don't want a typical report or ebook. Instead, you need a list of tips and steps for every topic in your outline. Again, you can go to a freelancing board like Elance.com to find a ghostwriter or check out the Warriors for Hire section of warriorforum.com. If you'd like to work with someone locally, then try posting an advertisement on Craigslist. So, example, wanted, ghostwriter with experience researching and writing about weight loss. Prefer writer who is experienced creating video scripts. I need this many words at whatever rate you're willing to pay, email me at, and then put your email in. You can see an example of this ad in your printed report. Now, at this step, you're mainly focusing on the visual portion of the presentation. That means that you're not going to be writing long paragraphs or pages of content for your slides. Instead, you want your text slides to just highlight the main points of the narration. Your slides should contain tips, bulleted lists, and other concise points. Some of my favorite slides are just images, just one image. So let's say you're talking about some of the nutritional aspects of weight loss. The slide you display may have three short main points, such as bullet point, eat six small meals a day. Bullet point, drink water between meals. Bullet point, eat close to nature. Your narration, of course, will explain each of these points in detail. However, if you just present text slides that highlight the main points of the narration, your presentation will be fairly boring. That's why you need to insert other visual elements. For example, video. This is a great way to illustrate whatever you're talking about. If you're running a bodybuilding workshop, then you can show videos of the correct way to perform the most popular lifts and other exercises, or maybe the incorrect ways if you can find blooper videos. Pictures. Sometimes you can illustrate your presentation just fine with a picture. For instance, if you're talking about how to use hand signals to train a deaf dog, then you can show photos of the most appropriate hand signals to use. Charts and similar graphs, interactive features, online demos, screenshots, etc. The point is you should never submit your viewers to PowerPoint text slide after text slide after text slide. Instead, keep the presentation both educational and entertaining by using videos, pictures, and other visual aids generously. So again, there's more detail about that in your report. Make sure you're following along. There are more examples. Now, writing your script. You just learned about creating the visual portion of your presentation. Now it's time to create the narration, which is the script for your workshop. Just a bit earlier, you learned the three main ways to create the content for the workshop: yourself, or using PLR, or by hiring a ghostwriter. This content you created will become part of your script. So here are the keys to creating your script. Estimate how long each topic will take. There are various estimates as to how many words people speak in a minute, but obviously that depends on the speaker. For instance, Paul's rate of words per minute versus my rate of words per minute vary a lot. We speak at very different rates. As such, you should time yourself so that you know approximately how much spoken content to create for each topic. Remember that you're likely to speak a bit faster than normal during the workshop because of nerves and adrenaline. Don't create long chunks of text for your script. Instead, create a script that mainly consists of short tips and reminders for yourself. You see, while you are creating a script, or at least the outline for one, you do not want to sound scripted. So if you write out every word you're going to say and then read it verbatim with stops and starts and pauses and breaths, you will indeed sound scripted. So toss the long passages of text away. Instead, just use your outline and slides as cues for what you need to say, and have extra notes nearby with tips and reminders of the important points you want to cover. And then practice, practice, practice. Plenty of practice will help you offer your presentation more smoothly so that you don't sound robotic, scripted, or nervous. It will also help you figure out exactly how long it will take you to cover each main topic. Here's a little tip. You can practice your entire presentation on GoToWebinar by clicking on the practice button. Here's another tip. As you start creating your narration, take note of how long your slides stay up. You don't want to have a plain text slide up for more than a minute. Otherwise, they start to get bored. It's much better to keep the presentation interesting by showing different slides often. So here's a quick recap. You now know how to create the content for your workshop, including both the visual content as well as the narration. And remember to open the lines for questions after every major topic, or at least every 45 to 60 minutes. Now your workshop is ready to go, but first you need to price it and then promote it. So let's carry on. What is next after we create our web page, we create our content, we set up our hosting, we do all of those things? The next thing is to sell the workshop. You've created it, but before you can go live, you have to price it and promote it. So first, let's talk about price. There are various factors that go into play when pricing a workshop, including the format. Fortunately, live events have a higher perceived value than products like ebooks. As such, you can charge anywhere from 2 to 5 times more for a live event as opposed to the same content presented in an ebook. The topic. Some topics simply command higher price tags. For example, a workshop about how to make money online will usually have a higher price tag than a quilting workshop. And a webinar about how to trade stocks will have a higher price tag than how to make money online. So you have to price it according to the topic and the length. For example, a 4-hour workshop is worth more than a 1-hour workshop. Price it according to the audience level. An intermediate or expert level workshop carries a higher perceived value than a workshop aimed at beginners. What is your credibility? If you have some special qualification for teaching the workshop, then you can charge more. So if you're a doctor or a nutritionist holding a weight loss workshop, then you'll be viewed as an expert and thus able to charge more for attendance. One of the most popular teleclasses I ever did was just audio, and it was with a CPA, and we were able to charge a lot for that and the replays because of the tax advice that she gave, because she was qualified. What other factors come into play? Do you offer any bonuses, such as the recordings to all attendees or other freebies? Do you offer any one-on-one coaching? If so, these sorts of things add to the value of your workshop. Now, one good way to price your workshop is to look at what others are charging for similar workshops. Just be sure you're comparing apples to apples, meaning you're directly comparing the factors mentioned above. You can find these workshops by searching for your keywords alongside words like workshop and webinar. For example, a dog training webinar, etc. You're likely to find a range of prices, even for similar workshops. You might price your workshop in the middle of the price range. Or, you know what, you might just go for the gusto and price it up and see how it bears in your market. Now to promote your workshop. Your next step is to promote your workshop, meaning that you get as many qualified prospects in front of your website as possible. Here are 5 good ways to do it. Number 1, tell your existing contacts about it. This includes blogging about your workshop, telling your newsletter subscribers, informing your social media contacts, and even dropping an email to your friends and family. Be sure to ask everyone to help you spread the word. Make it easy for them to share. Number 2, you could recruit affiliates. Now, don't bank on affiliates. You can't always count on them, but sometimes you can. You can offer your affiliates a 50% commission for every paying customer they send you. One of the easiest ways to do this is to use ClickBank, who will even handle paying your affiliates. We talked about them earlier. Plus, if you use ClickBank, you can list your workshop in the marketplace, which will help you recruit affiliates. However, your best affiliates will likely come from those you personally have a relationship with. That is, you need to seek them out and personally invite them to join your affiliate program. You can find them online simply by returning to your marketing research where you uncovered supposed competitors on ClickBank, Google, and elsewhere. In essence, people who are selling to the same niche. Really? Yes, really. You can have these people cooperate with you by offering them a commission to promote your workshop to their subscribers and customers. And in the report you have, in the printed report you have on page 30, there's even a sample email you can send. You, of course, need to tweak that to your own market and your own voice, but see the report for that. Number 3, invite joint venture partners. That's when you engage in a mutually beneficial activity with another marketer. One form of a JV is an affiliate partnership as described above, but you could take it a step further to make it a true joint venture, such as by offering to co-promote your affiliate partners. This means that they promote your workshop to their newsletter subscribers or blog readers, and in turn you promote one of theirs. Or maybe you do a webinar together, like Paul and I do. What we do is considered a joint venture. Number 4, you could use pay-per-click marketing. You could use Facebook paid ads. You could use LinkedIn paid ads. Number 5, you could use content marketing by blogging and sharing content and easing articles and article directories. You could do videos and put them up on YouTube. Go ahead and look in your report for some more ideas and specifics on those things. But the key to having a lot of paying attendees at your virtual workshop is to get your offer in front of as many targeted prospects as possible. And just as you learned, you can do this in a variety of ways, including using affiliate marketing, content marketing, pay-per-click, paid ads, and more. So let's wrap things up, shall we? Congratulations! Woohoo! You now know how to set up and run your very own virtual workshop. Let's quickly recap the 3-step system. Step 1, set up the workshop. This is where you choose a niche, select the topic, set up the webinar, and create your site. Step 2, supply the content. In this step, you learned how to create an outline and create both the visual and script portions of your workshop. Step 3, sell the workshop. Finally, you got an overview of how to price and promote the workshop. You may have started this report thinking that creating your own workshop might be a little overwhelming, But now you can no doubt see it's a lot easier than you think. I'm not saying it's not work, but it's probably easier than you think. And that means there's just one thing left for you to do. Take action. So go ahead, return to the first step. Start brainstorming niches, because the sooner you get started, the sooner you can collect payments for the workshop, and the sooner you'll have the recordings as yet another product you can sell again and again and again. Thanks for listening to Module 3, How to Create Your Own Paid Virtual Workshop. This is Carrie Wilkerson, co-founder of DIY Marketing Success, and this has been The Pipeline.